Kalosorisete, this is the 23rd symposia. So welcome to everyone. And it's great to see you. It's a sunny day, even though, and it's, you know, vernal equinox, so that's a momentous event. You are eating right now a green tsakisti olive, a green cracked olive tapenade with a little orange peel and a little bit of coriander and mint. Now, that is something that was a bit of a surprise. I decided we need to round out the beginning. My challenge tonight was to have orange or citrus apparent in every dish. So that was a little bit of a challenge. Last time it was honey, and that was interesting as well. So we have the green olive tapenade. We have, they can't turn it off, it's fine. I'll take care of it. I should have done that, sorry. It's all right, I'll take care of it later. Bring me my phone. Okay, and we have lagana is the bread. And the bread is a bread eaten on Catheri de Ftera, traditionally. So we have, and it's a quick rise bread, but it's a yeast bread. And then we have the white beans. The white beans are from Greece that were actually brought by a friend of mine. They're a special giant navy bean. And so we boiled them and tossed them in a tangerine vinaigrette with coriander and mint again. And I sassed it up with a little bit of balsamic vinegar in the orange juice because I thought it needed a little bit of a punch. So, and then we threw in some quinoa and some shallots. So that constitutes our first course. And we have some Bloody Mary mimosas. Now, this event has been in the making for many, many months because our organic citrus comes from California and I had to order it separately. So we have kumquats, we had Meyer lemons, we had the blood oranges, and we had some limes as well. And later I found some organic grapefruit for the bison. Our second course is going to be something that I trust you will enjoy. We have grilled some Belgium endive, white asparagus, blood oranges, and we've assembled that with an orange vinaigrette as well. So, and that we're going to accompany with a ninimos, which is a lovely blend. It's my 2010, finally I got it in, and that was the vintage we tasted when we were in Corinth last fall. And I was so excited when I tried it. I said, this has to be a new vintage because it's so much better, even across the Atlantic. So that will be our second course. And now without any more delay, I'm going to turn this over to my dear friend and fabulous masseuse and teacher and counselor and confidant, Claire Aukry. Please give her a hand.
Hello. I can't see anything with the sun. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And thank you, Anna, for creating this lovely space for community and for the exchange of ideas. I'm here tonight. Let me set this down. To present three pathways to creativity: massage, yoga, and meditation. And in my preparation for this presentation, I encountered many different perspectives on the creative process. John Cleese, for instance, notes that there are vital elements in the creative process: time, space, confidence, and humor. He notes, for instance, coming up with a skit is a bit like solving a problem. And problems have this piece of anxiety attached to them. And the longer he was able to sit with the problem, the longer he was able to breathe through the challenge, the more creative the outcome. I also had the pleasure of interviewing many different creatives, architects, artists, authors, and teachers. And they had these three things in common. of their creative endeavors were hindered when they felt stressed or with clutter. Their creative process was bolstered when they participated in some kind of practice. So with a daily meditation, a yoga practice, or even walks in nature. Usually when I get nervous doing a presentation, it's a yoga class and I can tell people to close their eyes and lay down. So if I tend to seem a little nervous, you'll all have to just take a deep breath for me. Okay. So the creative life is not, the creative life is not reserved for those artists or for the architect or for the poet. All of us has an inherent drive to create. It's in our DNA. All of us are faced with challenges, with problems in our daily lives that require creative solutions. So whether your challenge is a blank canvas, coming up with new ways to inspire your students, or diagnosing a patient, all require creative solutions. I'm thinking that there are three groups of people here tonight. Those in a creative field, looking to stretch or deepen their creative endeavor. The second group, those who work in a non-creative field, or what they would describe as non-creative, but enjoy creativity in their non-work hours. And then those who don't believe they have a creative bone in their bodies. I would like to shake this thinking up a bit. Because even if you are, say, writing code for software development, is this not using creativity to solve problems? If you're a cashier and you think of new ways to make conversation or make someone smile, is this not creativity at work? So tonight, I would love for us to reframe how we define creativity. I would love for us to deepen our awareness and our appreciation for creativity, our own unique creativity, and how it influences the quality of our life and the quality of those lives around us. I would like to challenge you to begin to live your life as if it were an emerging, evolving, creative work of art. Yoga, massage, and meditation are three pathways to creativity. Three options to create your practice and to open to your creative path. Thank you. I will have more information about these three pathways in the next segment. Enjoy.
Okay, well, I just got the scoop on Belgium Endive. I had wanted to do that earlier, but I just was a little bit pressed with other events. Belgium Endive actually was discovered in the 19th century. Maybe you can fill us in on this, Alex. By a man who put chicory root in his cellar, and it sprouted fat white leaves. So Belgian endive is the sprouting from chicory. So it's full, like white asparagus, it's full of folate, which is very good to protect against birth defects and Alzheimer's. And something I had researched about the white asparagus is that those who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's have very, very low rates of low amounts of folate in their system. So Belgium endive is full of folate. It's also full of vitamin A and vitamin C and calcium. So those are, yeah, much earlier. So that's your Belgium endive tonight, and with your Ninimos wine. And we're going to go on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about your entrees that will be coming. And we have the duck breast, and it is oven roasted and then fired finished with a kumquat puree, green pepper. And in fact, there's one other little side. We have green pepper in just about everything tonight. I just went green pepper crazy because I like it so much with fruit. Green peppercorns are semi-fermented peppercorns. Okay, so a black peppercorn is a fully like tea. A black peppercorn is fully fermented and then dried. A green pepper like corn, like oolong tea, is a semi-fermented peppercorn. And then the white one has been totally dried and the hull is completely taken off, so it's just the seed. That's why it has the hotness, but none of that coarseness. So I find green peppercorn very fruity, and since everything had orange in it, I was loath to put any black pepper in anything tonight. So it was it informed your savory mimosas. That's what the little hotness was. It was literally I cracked that and put it on everything, including the duck breast, which is going to be served on bulgur, which has been flavored or seasoned with orange peel and orange juice. Just a touch, but it's savory, so there's no sweetness to anything I put in. I didn't put any sugar or any honey in anything today. So just enjoy the citrus as it comes through and speaks to you from the various courses that we're going to go through. We also didn't use any garlic tonight or tomatoes, so those are some things that are kind of fun to make note of, I think. I like to kind of go on a tack and take it all the way to the end and keep it tight and keep it composed. So those are some things you might be missing tonight. And no potatoes. We have lots of grains tonight. So we're going to do the duck breast on the bulgur. And then we're going to do bison. And that has been braised for hours with lots of shallots. So not quite onions tonight, but shallots. We do have shallots in the bison with fresh squeezed grapefruit juice. And then some supremed grapefruit is going to be added at the very last minute. They're really big, so please keep those sharp knives, but it's kind of falling off the bone. So there's white wine and grapefruit juice and coriander in the bison as well. So make sure you have as much bread as you want. We'll be doing white red wines. Now, I did put down Ayuyitiko Tetramithos, which is an organically grown grapes, for an Ayuyitiko wine, which means St. George. But I want to do a little bit of a taste test, so I will come back and ask you what you liked, if you like the Lafkioti Ayuyitiko or the Tetramithos Ayuyitiko. And it's the same grape, very, very stretchy. It's a stretchy grape. It has lots of different, you can put lots of different characters out of it, depending on how long you age it. If you put it in oak barrels, I once did 11 course wine tasting with 11 different Ayuyitiko wines, from like a very light Sangiovese all the way to a very velvety smooth Aionimo. But anyways, at this time we're going to turn over to Claire, and she's going to give you, now the sun is not streaming in and burning her eyes and making her feel like she's in a blind kind of a thing. I'm sorry about that. We'll get some shade someday. But here she is. Thank you.
That listens, Zoran. I'm talking about the brain. You'll want to hear this. This is the brain, stress, and creativity. We have a very complex brain with different parts, and each has its own function. The hind brain, or reptilian brain, is in charge of primal instinct and survival. It's where the fight or flight input is processed. The limbic system is the place where creativity and salience develops. So salience is like what grabs your attention. That is where creativity develops. The neocortex is the largest portion of the brain, and this is where language, imagination, and abstract thought develop. So, when stressed, the fight or flight kicks in, and our brain function moves to that hind brain. And in essence, puts our creativity on hold. Takes that imaginative part of our brain, the part with abstract thought, is excommunicated until the threat is no longer perceived. So what happens to our creative brain when we are constantly bombarded with stress? In our complex world, with the high demands that we place on ourselves, can we move from this place of extended fight or flight to a place of rest and recovery so our creative brain can flourish? Are you breathing? Are you sending it to me? Yes, we can, but it takes awareness, it takes a commitment, and it takes a practice. So we can develop a pathway to creativity. I'm not suggesting that we can or should eliminate all stress from our lives, because some stress is good. It keeps us safe. Stress can also keep us sharp. But we can work to develop skills so we can recognize and manage appropriate levels of stress. Massage brings awareness. Yoga teaches the joy of self-discipline, self-awareness, and self-confidence. And meditation fosters creativity and mindfulness. Now I'm going to talk about my favorite subject, which is breathing, stress, and massage. My first priority with my clients is to talk about breathing. And I'm always surprised by the number of clients who tell me, no one has ever talked to me about breathing. And I find this remarkable because of all we know now about breathing and its impact on our body's health overall. Okay, so if a bear ran into this room right now, our fight or flight would kick in, and all of our short muscles of respiration would tighten, would shorten, expanding our rib cage so that the lungs could accommodate enough oxygen to run fast. So, after the bear is humanely sedated and driven back to bear land, then our breathing deepens and we return to this place of rest and relaxation. So, what is happening to our creative brains when there is what happens to our bodies when we are constantly bombarded with stress? What happens to these short muscles of respiration? Okay, these short muscles, may I use your body for a moment? So, the short muscles of respiration attach the neck to the shoulders, the neck to the front of the chest, the intercostals, which are the muscles that go between the ribs. So they shorten to run from the bear. The threat is discovered, they shorten to expand so we can breathe and run. Okay, some of us live our lives in this state of stress. So, in massage, we really spend a lot of time addressing that. Sometimes it just affects you long enough to give you a sore neck, or frozen shoulders, or neck tension. But sometimes it's prolonged long enough that it creates a breathing dysfunctional pattern and can lead to other complex health issues. Okay, so we've escaped the bear. Are we breathing? Send me something, because I can't see where I am on my page. I should write bigger. What was I thinking? Okay. I should. Does someone have some readers? Okay. So, a great massage therapist will address your physical body and also address stress levels from activities of daily living that affect the body as a whole. You will also perhaps discuss your goals and perhaps a wellness plan. Breathing is an essential element in your massage because it not only affects these specific muscle groups, but, as I've said, your entire health overall. So what happens to your creative brain during a massage? It begins to open. It begins to receive insight, clarity, and inspiration. Massage is a pathway to creativity. So on to the next love in my business, which is yoga. And yoga as a pathway to creativity. Yoga can begin for you as a private session, or it can begin in a classroom. And there are numerous classes to take. Every road you go down, every corner has a yoga sign in the window. And this may seem overwhelming. So my advice to you is to just start somewhere. But with this intention, be gentle with yourself. If you're a beginner, start in a beginner class or a slow flow or a restorative. If you're a more experienced yogi, and I'm sure there are some here, try a class that pushes you out of your comfort zone so you can be stretched and moved in brave new directions. Yoga poses strengthen the body, improve balance, and increase flexibility. Yoga practice focuses on deep breathing so that you can tap into your creative mind. And yoga, probably the most important thing that it does, is it begins to refine your relationship with yourself so that you can discover your unique sense of truth. And from this truth, this place of authenticity, grows creativity. I'm going to do a demonstration now. Could I have a volunteer from the audience, please? Oh, you know, I think I can still hold it because I'm going to have him do all the work. Thank you. I don't think anyone wants to see Nude Warrior tonight. We are eating. Okay. So you can stand right here. And I'm talking about warrior tonight. And he's a lovely warrior. I'm talking about warrior tonight because to me it talks a lot about yoga and its relationship with revealing the self. Good, good. He's got that front foot planted. Very nice. He's anchoring himself with that rear foot. Very nice.
Well, I'm not bad.
But I'm going to have you do one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have you square your hips to the front of the room. Point them right at Eileen. Square the hips. But you're going to have to shift your foot so you don't whack your knee out. There you go. Good. Perfect. Warrior one. There you go. Nice. Okay. Beautiful. Fantastic. So in Warrior, the first time I heard about Warrior, I thought, what a strange, oh, you can't leave. You have to stay.
Okay.
I thought Warrior, in the practice of yoga, it's this peaceful practice. Why use the word warrior? But it was explained to me that we can be warriors of beauty, of truth, of self-knowledge. And when we are on our mats, when we are in our yoga practice, we are warriors for our truth. We're not concerned about what somebody else's warrior pose looks on the next mat.
Well, sometimes we check.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm only one in 60 babes.
So, paying attention to your warrior, how you find your balance in your warrior, and how you find your strength in your warrior, is about tapping into and tuning into your warrior strength. So let's see that warrior again.
Warrior one or two?
Warrior one. Let's see warrior one. Let's keep it simple. Beautiful. That's right. Keeping those biceps up. And we're finding strength. We find strength. We find balance. And we find strength. We find balance. And we also push ourselves to the edge of ourselves. We find our unique creative abilities when we do warrior. That is just absolutely perfect. Thank you so much, Soren. That was fabulous. Very, very, very nice. So warrior pose is just one example of what we learn during yoga. It's more than just a physical exercise. It's more than just being strong or being fit. Warrior is about connecting with your personal truth and then gaining the confidence to stand in it and fight, really, for that peace, that self-knowledge, your art piece, what you want to happen in your community. That's what yoga is about. Okay, yoga gives us time and space to play with the edges of ourselves, with our ideas about ourselves, about our perceived boundaries and limitations. Yoga provides us time and space to develop a practice so that we can open to our truth, to our authenticity, opening to that pathway of creativity. The last portion of my business is meditation, and it is certainly last but not least. There are many different forms of meditation. And when I say the word meditation, you may picture a guru sitting on a rock in a flowing robe with their legs crossed, floating a few inches off the rock. But meditation need not be a daunting, complex endeavor. Buddhist Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh describes meditation as mindfully connecting with our present experience. Mindfully connecting with our present experience. It begins with mindful breathing so that we can come into touch with what's happening in our bodies, in our thinking, in our feeling, and in our environment. Mindfulness practice infuses our activities of daily living with meditation. Okay. I would like to do a mindfulness meditation with all of you right now. Are we ready? Okay, you look very ready. I can see. Okay, so the first thing, this is so cute, you know what I just noticed? Matthew sat up really straight in his chair because we've done this a lot. Matthew's my sweetheart, and he has heard this presentation 4,000 times. So thank you. So thank you, honey. Okay, so to begin our mindfulness meditation, we are going to take a breath together. So what I'd like you to do, I'll instruct it just like I instruct my massage clients and my yoga students. Feel the weight of your body in the chair. Plant both feet evenly on the floor. See if you can feel the entire foot on the chair, on the floor, the left foot and then the right. Now, relax the hands, relax the forearms, relax the upper arms. Grow the spine very, very tall and feel the crown of your head lift as if it were a balloon reaching toward the ceiling. Take a moment to relax the jaw, the face, the ears. Good. Now, I'd like you to take a very deep inhale through the nose, drawing it all the way to the very bottom of the lungs. See it move to the bottom of your lungs first. And then let that breath fill the lungs from the bottom to the top, like you'd fill a glass of water. When you exhale, feel even more relaxation leave the shoulders and neck. Beautiful. You're in a meditative space. We're going to open our eyes, but keep your calm meditation. Open the eyes. If you have a beverage in front of you, please pick up your glass. And if you're out of a beverage, ask your neighbor. Or just pretend, because pretending works too. So, you have the glass in your hand. Your body is still relaxed, anchored in your chair, strong. Your shoulders are relaxed and down. Now bring your attention to your present experience. The cool glass, the smooth surface. You hear maybe background noise, but mostly you hear and feel your breath. Bring the glass to the mouth. feel the cool against the lips, and take a drink. When you're finished, feel free to set the glass down. Try to notice where the taste hit your tongue, how it felt going down the throat. This is mindfulness. This is mindful meditation. And if you don't care to go to some place to do your meditation, you can bring your meditation to you. It develops our focus and creativity. This form of meditation hones our awareness, it fosters clarity, and promotes a healthy body and a relaxed mind. You all have very relaxed minds at this time, I can tell. Mindfulness is meditation, and it is a pathway to creativity. So, in conclusion, yoga and massage and meditation are three pathways to creativity. They merge together beautifully so you can create your own path for your own creative process. So, choose a path, choose your practice, and move toward a healthier body, a relaxed mind, and a more creative you. Thank you very much. Just one more thing before we start. I think there will be a little bit more of an interlude and then some questions and answers. But I also have a gift for each one of you before you go with a mindfulness meditation and some information about what I talked about tonight. So make sure you get that before you go. And I'm also having a workshop in April to open to creativity. So that we will also have that sign up here as well. So enjoy each other and be mindful in your present experience. And there'll be more later. Thank you.
So who can tell me what wine they preferred? The Lafcioti, the Trapeze, or the Lafcioti, the purple four? Did anybody have a preference? You like the Trapeze, the Lafcioti. Okay, you like the Trapeze. Good, okay.
I like this one.
Yes, it's a good one too. That's what I'm drinking tonight. Very well done, well done. Okay, well, this brings us to the end of our segment, and I'm going to have some closing words with you tonight, and then I'm going to turn it over to our Q&A and wrap up with Claire. Well, you might ask, she's cutie, Q&A, Q&R, what do you call those little... any questions about the food or any comments so far, any... Oh, well, that I'm glad to hear. Well, that's not what I was looking for. What I wanted to say is we're going to be passing out Greek coffee right now. Anybody would like it, please raise your hand. And if you'd like more, let us know. And, the cake we have tonight is called Revani, and that is a syruped cake. A syruped cake with almonds on top, and we have a little bit of kumquat ice cream that I make. And that's nicely chilled out for me. I was very happy, coincidence for that. And then I'm just going to make a note about the boozy kumquats. So kumquats, I don't know if you know, but all citrus come from China and then got to the West vis-a-vis Persia. So mandarin oranges are called mandarin oranges for that reason. Kumquats were little ornamental trees, and I guess the West decided to eat them. But I love kumquats because when you eat them, the peel is actually sweeter than the fruit, and you get to chew the whole thing. So I have been working on kumquats, and I made two infused drinks. This is the hot one that we'll be serving at the end of the meal.
It has chili peppers and kumquats. And this is the savory one, okay? So you have little shots of that at the end of the meal. But on your cake will be decorated with a booze-soaked kumquat dipped in chocolate and then some coarse sugar. So they're called boozy kumquats, and for a reason. It's like you will not taste anything after those. So save it to the end or cut it up better maybe and just add it to your Revani cake. So let's see, one more thing, a couple more things. I always love to thank Edie and Paul from Dream TV, who courteously and complimentarily podcast this event. So if you missed any cues, would you please stand up, kind of? It's audio. We have little, this is Edie, this is Paul, okay? And this is their daughter, Maya, who opted to come tonight with us, with her mom, for a mother and daughter event. So we just think that's super cool. But in any case, so Edie and Paul are always our guests, and they podcast. So you can listen to the podcast. In about a week's time, they usually get it up. And some of them are quite interesting. We've had quite a few people compliment the last one. We had the honeybee speaker who actually did show up. But in any case, did I just say that? and so our next, I was hoping she'd be here tonight. Our next symposia is April 17th. It is a Wednesday, and it is going to be Hazel Bevel. And Hazel Bevel is about a 78-year-old woman who's been painting tree trunks, which is quite lovely. And I picked her out of about six that somebody offered me without knowing what her work was like. But just the subject matter of tree trunks are very dear to my heart because I shoot them a lot myself. And I have a series going with photography. But in any case, so and when I saw the actual photos, I was very happy. It was a very happy choice. So that will be next month. I want to make sure there was some confusion. We're trying to do prepay when you walk in the door. So anybody doesn't feel that they've paid or didn't pay taxes, because there was some confusion about that. The total bill is $37.53, I believe. And tip is not included, so please tip generously to your staff. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Claire. Yes? The duck? Thank you. The duck, you know, I seasoned it, and I have this kumquat puree, and I just spread it over, and I let it sit for 20 minutes. I put it in a hot oven, 450, 20 minutes. And then when that was done, I set it out, and I didn't freeze it or chill it. I just left it because I knew it was all going to be consumed tonight, and I fire grilled it at the very end before I put it on top of the bulgur, so it get a nice crisp little skin. So it was very juicy. When I cut it, it was just perfect. I was very pleased with it. So I'm glad you all enjoyed it, because I didn't get to try it yet. And thank you so much. And please share with your friends. If you've had a good night tonight, please share with your friends and bring some more people next month. When Kathleen and I drove through Greece last year in early June, we were in Corfu, and that's where we tried the kumquat liqueur. So that's what I'm actually trying to approximate, something like that. It's already been 2 months soaking, and I'm telling you, it's a lot better now than it was a month ago. A month ago, it just ripped down my throat. Yeah, but I don't like too sweet of liqueurs, and the ones we tried were pretty sweet, and we weren't really fond of them, but they had a nice flavor and a nice bite that made me want to come back and redo that one. So now my love is going to read another quote, and I will see you all next month. There you go.
Thank you, Anna. She is the diva of community and fabulous food. Okay, the quote that you asked for by Thich Nhat Hanh. Mindfully connecting with our present experience. So, I hope that you're mindfully connecting with that boozy kumquat and connecting with your present experience. It has been an absolute joy. Thank you for allowing me to stand up here and perform in front of you. It has been a joy, and if I could see your faces in one of my classes or a workshop or anywhere, I would be so blessed. So thank you so much. Have a good evening.